Revelation chapter 12. By the way, beginning next Wednesday, which will be July 18th, we will begin with a fellowship dinner here at 6:30. And we will eat till approximately 7:28. At which time we will have Bible study. Okay? If we can walk. Hey, I'll bring a wheelchair from the airport and we'll roll you in here. Or if we have a wheelchair, we can put you on the ground and roll you. Yeah. We're going to lock the doors during the meal. Revelation 12. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for the time we have to come together and just worship you in Scripture. Thank you for the great truth that you have for us in Scripture and your love letter to us. Father, I thank you for those who love you enough to want to spend time in your letter and see what you have to say to them. And I pray that your Spirit would just enlighten our minds to the wonderful truth that we have here today. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to spend a few weeks in chapter 12 and 13 of these books. And because these books really give us, or these two chapters give us the central theme of the book of Revelation, which we will look at in our study of eschatology or future themes. These two chapters are parenthetical, as we saw last week, meaning that the events that John has written down in these two chapters actually occurred earlier in the book. In fact, these events took place, or will take place, before the events in Revelation 6 through 9. Chapters 6 through 9 give us an outer view of prophetic history. We'll get into that. And the beast and the false prophet are on the earth during chapters 6 through 9. They've made war against the two witnesses. And then, so if you were reading 6 through 9, we would read all about that. And then in chapter 12 and 13, it says, it's kind of like, oh, let me tell you how they got here. I've told you all about this war, and so let me tell you about what was going on. And how did they get on earth? Well, there was a war in heaven. And so it's a parenthesis, it's parenthetical, and it takes us back to events that we've had before. And so Revelation 12 and 13 tell us about the war in heaven spilling over onto the earth. Now, you remember, we saw in chapter 12, verse 1, and a great sign appeared in heaven. I like the word appear, horaho. It's where we get our word horizon, and it means to see a all over. It just goes from one end to the other. And the word sign, simeon in the Greek, tells us that we are not to take this literally. It's a sign of something else which is literal. And so God the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, is taking something which is not literal to illustrate or show us something which is literal. And so that's what we have here. And look at verse 1 again. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. This is the 12 patriarchs. And I think last time, I'm not sure, we were fixing to look at Genesis 37. I don't remember if we did or not, but we'll look there again. Genesis 37. This is important to see the meaning of this sign. Genesis 37, about verse 9. Now we're talking about Jacob. And he had another dream, and related it to his brothers, and said, Lo, I have had still another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. Does it sound anything like Revelation chapter 12, verse 1? We're pretty sharp, aren't we? Okay. And he related it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, What is this dream that you had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you on the ground? Now, literally, did this happen? Yeah, in Egypt, didn't it? Okay? Now, let's go back to Revelation 12. Good place, isn't it? We're going to be in a few other chapters today, maybe before we get very deep into Revelation 12. And we have to see the meaning of this sign. And what we have here is the earliest sign of the zodiac. 12 constellations in heaven. And when we look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20, we will see that what we have in the zodiac is the entire gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it's God's entire plan of history in the warfare between God and Lucifer. Now, notice how Lucifer, by the way, took over the zodiac at the Tower of Babel. That's when he took it over. And notice how it's changed. When we talk about the zodiac today, is it where is it centered on? Whose plan? Satan's plan and man's plan. Is that true? Why, my birthday is. Oh, and you read, you're this sign, and today is a good day for you to make friends. Today is a bad day for you to start any new business deal. Today is a bad day to move in with your mother-in-law. Today is a good day, you see? And it's man-centered. That's what I want you to see. It's man-centered. The original zodiac was designed to be Christ-centered, God-centered. And all through the zodiac, you will see that God's hero, Jesus Christ, defeats Lucifer's hero, Lucifer himself, the dragon. And so the zodiac has been taken over by Satan. But for, 1,500 years before Moses wrote Genesis, God had been giving, well, even before that, the 22,000, 2,500 years, God had been given the gospel in the zodiac. The zodiac has been called the oldest picture book in history. It was designed by God to tell his story. And the 12 stars are actually 12 constellations. And they are associated with Israel. They're associated with Jacob and the 12 patriarchs. And in Genesis and in Revelation 12, they represent the entire nation of Israel and God's plan for them. In Genesis, they represent the nation of Israel in its embryonic stage. In Revelation 12, God tells us that he is about to take over his handiwork, human history, and straighten everything out. Now, before we go to Revelation 12, spend some time in verse 2, let's just read the chapter. Before I read the chapter, let's talk about the zodiac. And then maybe that will help us see the chapter. The entire story of the zodiac, go back to Genesis 3. Look at verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. Now he's talking to Lucifer, and then he's talking to the woman. And he, Jesus Christ, the offspring of the woman, will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Now, a little bit later on, we're going to see in one of the constellations just how the serpent is having his head crushed under the heel of the mighty hero of God. Okay? So we'll see that. And this gives us the entire, really, the entire summary of the zodiac, which is Jesus wins, Lucifer loses, Satan destroys, and over and over again. And this is what we're going to see in Revelation 12. Yeah, Larry. Ah, Larry doesn't know what a zodiac is. The 12 constellations in the heavens. Okay? Made up of, 36 other different constellations, part of them. And in the constellations, they tell a story. Yeah. What? The Big Dipper. The Bear. Okay? Orange. Those are all part of the zodiac. Okay? Taurus, Sagittarius, Virga, the Virgin, Leo, the Lion. It's all there. It's all there. I'm looking for something that I can get, maybe download from my computer that I can print out and show you on an overhead. But when you see the zodiac, one of the things, and this is what's so amazing, when you see the zodiac, there is nothing in there that looks like what it's called. You look at the Big Dipper, do you see a bear? It's called a bear. You look at Virgo or the Virgin, you don't see a woman. There's no way you can look at that and ever see a woman. That's what it's called. And no, God did. God named them these things, and you can go all the way back into the Sumer history, and we have the same zodiac with the same 12 names. Whether it's in Sumer history, Babylonian history, Greek history, Roman history. All the same names. And I guarantee you, if none of us you had ever heard of the names of the zodiac, and we were given the 12 different constellations and said, okay, name these, none of us would have any two of them the same name. Because they don't look anything like what they're called. And that's the genius of God. We'll get back to that. first sign, first constellation we'll see is the Virgo. It is she who brings forth the seed who destroys the serpent. It is Virgo, representing Mary, the mother of Christ, who brings into the world the one who brings salvation to all. She brings, she is the woman, and the seed is Christ. Scorpio, the first picture of serpent. Satan, Scorpio, sees the mighty hero on the heel. And he's crushed beneath the heel of the mighty hero. It's all in the zodiac. Satan is struggling in the hands of a mighty hero. And as he's struggling, he's reaching up to grab the crown away from God. See, there's the struggle. Who is worthy to be God? And Lucifer says, I am. He thinks he's worthy to be God. In the constellation of the heavens. Now, when you look, you will not see this. Okay, if you went out and you looked at the stars, you know, it's about 3 or 4 stars, and then there's a whole story built around them. You look at the next constellation, it's 6 or 7 stars, all these stories built around them. And you'd look and you'd say, I don't see a woman. I don't see a bear. I don't see a hero. I don't see a guy with a bow and an arrow. I don't see a lion. I don't see this. And yet, all throughout history, every civilization has the same constellation, the same zodiac, with the same stories. And none of them know where they came from. They were just, you know, they were just here. Before the Sumer civilization, oldest civilization, they had the zodiac that's in writing, but no one claimed, oh, well, we named the zodiac. No, someone else did. They don't know how it got there. They know the story. Yeah. Virgo is the virgin. Yeah. Ah, Satan's story, he just changed things around a little bit. And it started with the Tower of Babel. He started just changing things and moving, and very slowly the emphasis was moved from the warfare between God and Satan, the emphasis being put on man. Okay? And so he just counterfeited it. And as I was talking about Satan thinks he's going to be God, and so he's trying to grab the crown from God as he's wrestling with the mighty hero of God. He attacks Pisces or the fish, and he is attempting to destroy the fish, the believers. And as he does, he is destroyed by Orion. That constellation represents Christ. And he holds in his hand the dead carcass of the lion, who is Lucifer. Now remember, there are two lions in Scripture, right? Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah. Lucifer, who goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour of believers. He's the counterfeit lion. Okay? And in the next picture, we'll see Satan is represented by the head of Medusa. Remember the serpent and the head there, and has all the serpents for hair? And Medusa is slain by, who is it, Perseus? Yeah. And then, of course, Lucifer is represented by Hydra, the great serpent. And Hydra is also destroyed. Hydra is destroyed by the feet of the lion, Jesus Christ. It's all in the zodiac. Some of it is in scripture. We get the zodiac from historical writings. The zodiac was the gospel from the time of Adam all the way to the first writings of scripture, which would have been Job. Okay? I'm sorry, what? The Sumers? They were the first really civilization, large civilization, before the flood. We get mathematics from them. I was about ready to say their goddess. No, that's a Greek name. No, those are all Greek, with Sumer. I had the wrong name coming in. I had Moses' mother, Hatshepsut, coming in, and that's the wrong name, and so I got to wait till that goes away. But from her, part of that religion is the worship of the moon, which was very prominent. In fact, Abraham's father, grandfather, was a high priest in this thing. What was her name? What? Now, yeah. No, those are all Greek words. They just kind of changed. And actually, it's an interesting thing in the Greek, in the Sumer mythology. This woman, I got a book of her poetry upstairs in the office, but I can't read it in mixed company. But she literally has to go to Hades to rescue her husband. And when she goes to rescue him, she's attacked by Satan, and she's hung on a nail, a peg, for 3 days and three nights, and then comes back to life. And Inanna, we have prayers to Inanna from the Sumer. Oh, Inanna, Mother of God. Oh, Inanna, full of grace. Oh, Inanna, if you hear any, Inanna is Mary of the Catholic Church. Okay? Not Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary of the Catholic Church. She is the mother of God in the Sumer religion and the Sumer civilization. Then it's probably, yeah. No idea. Yeah. And they lived in what is now in the neighborhood of Iraq. It's the cradle of civilization. Okay? Okay. Anna, I just can't believe I forgot her name. But that's the way it goes. I got into Anna big way a few years ago. That's absolutely right. So at any rate, Hydra is destroyed, first of all, by the lion Christ. Then Hydra is destroyed from the outpouring cup of the wrath of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, he is destroyed and eaten by the ravens or the buzzards. And so it's kind of an interesting thing. And so all through that, you see that. Now, what I wanted to just, you know, get you to see is that all of these pictures of the zodiac that I've talked about so far, they all have to do with the warfare going on between God and Satan. And Satan constantly is being crushed by the mighty hero. Sagittarius shoots him in the heart with his arrow. The mighty hero holds him in his hand as he's going after the crown of God and crushes him. as the sea monster. He is bound or crushed under the foot of Ares, the Lamb of God. And Ares ties him with cords and bounds him up. And as I said, as the lion, he's seeking to destroy believers, and he himself is destroyed by Orin, Jesus Christ. And Medusa is killed, and Hydra is killed. And so, in every case, what it says is, Lucifer loses, Jesus wins. That's the book of Revelation. Now, let's read Revelation 12. And see if you don't see some of this. Revelation chapter 12. Just want to read through the chapters. We're going to go back and study this, but I want you to just want you to see it. Remember, the sign represents something literal. So a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. These are the 12 patriarchs. This is the zodiac. And the zodiac is a sign that represents something literal. What is literal is the warfare between God and Lucifer. And she was with child. See, this is Virgo. She's with child, Jesus Christ. And she cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon. Now, the word dragon has as its root decamai, and it means to be smart. To be smarter than others. That's what dragon means in the Greek. Smarter than others. And behold, a red dragon having 7 heads. Now, these are all the 7 false religions that worship the woman. Beginning with Sumer, Chaldea, Assyria, Persia, Greece, Roman, revived Roman Empire. They all worship the woman. He has 7 heads. Now remember that right now, he is restrained by Lucifer. Lucifer is restrained by the Holy Spirit, and he's only able to use 1 of his heads. Power and strength. So, right now, Lucifer is operating at 1/7 of his capacity. In the tribulation, he will be operating, shall we say, on all 7 cylinders or all 7 heads. 7 times more power than he has today. 10 horns, the power of the 10 nations. And his head were 7 died him, so he is he's crowned. And his tail. Now, the tail of a dragon represents his intelligence and action. And it swept away 1/3 of the stars of heaven. Now, there are a lot of different ideas here. I believe that the stars of heaven represent the angelic creatures. Now, some people believe, and I used to teach this, that when he fell, he took 1/3 of angelic creatures with him. What I believe now is, you know, from more study and looking at things and seeing patterns, and we are a pattern, the human civilization represents somewhat the pattern of angelic civilization. And in human civilization, in the human race, what percentage of the human race is fallen? What? 100%, aren't we? And then some of us are rescued from the slave market of sin. Do you see that? Who rescued us? Christ. Now, I believe that what we have here is I believe that when Lucifer fell, remember, he was the high priest in heaven, he represented God to the angels. And I believe that when he fell, they all went with him. Everybody. Who was with Christ on the cross? Just Christ, right? Just God. He was forsaken. I believe that all angelic creatures left. Well, okay. Now, what happened? I believe that God began to evangelize the angels. Okay? And so there was a period of time when that angel came to salvation. And now they're called elect angels. And they have eternal security. And the whole order of things changed. Some were kind of peon angels in the first estate, and now they are top dog angels, seraphim. Say? Yes. Well, so now we're getting into foreknowledge and predestination, etc. God knew that Lucifer would fall. And it was decreed because that is what is going to happen. But what God decrees and what he desires are not always the same, are they? He desires that all men be saved? Are all men saved? No. Do you see that? And so I believe that over a period of time there's this warfare going on, and then Lucifer is thrown out of heaven, and a third of the angels have not, shall we say, repented, and they go with him. Still part of his plan. But he knows what is going to happen. But, and he's already made, you see, God had already made provision for the fallen angels, the cross of Christ. Okay? He's already made provision. And being omniscient, you can think ahead. He's thinking ahead. Yeah. Let's go. Let's think about these angels. Are the elect angels today, are they better off after the fall or before the fall? After the fall. Why? Because they can't fall now. Is that right? Yeah, we bring... No, there's eight others. See? Yep. The angels have free will. How could we be a pattern if we have free will and they don't? So they have free will. They chose God. Two-thirds chose God. A third did not. Those two-thirds are better off because now they have eternal security. Okay? And they're involved in warfare like we are. Still involved in warfare. But they already know that they're fighting with the winning general. Sometimes we forget. Okay? I think so. Now, that's just my opinion. Okay? Just my opinion. Are they? I don't think so. That's also my opinion. But see, could they and will they are two different stories. Could they? Yes. Will they? I don't think so. Because the part of the thing that we see from Pharaoh is the Satan type. No, 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 no. The more he says no, the more he means it. The greater the pressure, the greater his antagonism to God. Now, so his tail, verse 4, swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Now that's when the earth became tohu wabohu, a garbage dump without form and void, Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth, literally in the Hebrew, became without form and void. Isaiah says that God did not create it that way. Literally in the Hebrew it says, and the earth became a garbage dump. Isaiah says God didn't create the earth a garbage dump. Then we have the, after Genesis 1, 2, and 3, we have the restoration of the earth. Okay? By the Holy Spirit. And the dragon, look at verse 4, middle of verse 4, that's Satan, stood in the presence of the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Does that describe Lucifer looking for the Christ child? Beginning with whom? Adam, but which son of Adam? Cain slew Abel. So, why did Satan want to do that? Because he thought Abel's going to be the Messiah. Tell him now. You see that? He thought Eve was the woman and Abel was her seed. See the pattern? I'm going to kill Jesus. And she gave birth to a son, Christ, a male child, who is to rule, or literally the word in the Greek means to shepherd. It's a present infinitive. The present infinitive is something that you are, not what you do. Aorist infinitive is what you do. Present infinitive is who you are. He is a shepherd. Now, obviously, he shepherds. But can you see the difference? I can be a shepherd. I can shepherd without being a shepherd. Is that true? But I can't be a shepherd without shepherding. Okay, let me give another example. I can lead the singing and not be a song leader. Is that true? But I can't be a song leader without leading the singing. Can you see the difference? Jesus is a shepherd. As a shepherd, you have to shepherd. Okay? So he's going to shepherd all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God into his throne. There's the ascension of Christ. And the woman fled into the wilderness. So all of a sudden we have a church age, ascension of Christ. Now Israel's gone. I mean, the church is gone. Christ is gone. At the right hand of the Father, we're gone from the earth. And the woman, Israel, fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared out from the source of God so that there she might be nourished for 1,000 people. Sixty days. And the word nurse means she's going to be breastfed. Elsa dies. The many-breasted dies. For 3 years, 5.5 months. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels wage war. And they, Satan and the dragon and his angels, were not strong. You know what it says? They lost. Remember, I gave you 6 pictures of the zodiac, and they all said the same thing. Satan loses. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down. Now this is his second fall. The serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. And he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying. Now, literally, they are seen. Okay? And this is the victory song that you and I, as church age believers, will be singing in heaven during the tribulation. Now the salvation and the power, even the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ, His anointed one, have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, and who accuses them before our God day and night. So basically what is Lucifer doing now? He's accusing us. In the tribulation, middle of the tribulation, he's thrown out. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, the cross, and because of the word of their testimony, the gospel. And they did not love their life even to death. They loved Christ more than death. They loved Christ more than their father, their mother. Studying that, I don't remember? For this reason, rejoice, O heavens. We're still singing now. I'm just reading this to you. I could have sung it to you. But I don't have my resurrected vocal cords. So you can rejoice. Rejoice, O heavens. These are the elect angels still in heaven. And you will dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea. Symbols of satanic power. Because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. Last half of the tribulation, so tough, it is so rough, because Lucifer realizes he is losing. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. So he really persecutes Israel, the last part of the tribulation. And the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman. We don't have time to look at Exodus 19:4. In order that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time and 2 times and a half a time. So, and 1 year plus 2 years, which would be 3 years and a half a time, would be 3.5 years from the presence of the serpent. Now, when we get here, we will see that we have the third demon assault army. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman. And so here's Israel, and it's like she's caught in a flash flood in rapid water. Satan's army, that's how numerous they are, they're coming to destroy her. So that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. Now notice what happened. And the earth, the land, the earth represents divine power. The water represents Satan's power. And the earth just opens up and swallows all of Satan's power.
Boom.
It's gone. Who wins? It opens its mouth and drinks up the river. That's Satan's army, which the dragon pours out of his mouth. People, little analogy for us. It doesn't make any difference how great the disaster looks. God's always in control. And the issue is always very simple. Will we trust God's love at this time or not? That's always the issue. And so what happens? Verse 17, and the dragon repented and accepted Christ. No? And the dragon was enraged. He's frustrated. And he's self-centered. And when a self-centered person is frustrated, they become enraged and they throw temper tantrums. Now, you ain't never seen a temper tantrum till you have seen Satan, the most powerful creature in the universe, throw a temper tantrum. It's the end of the tribulation. This is the end of the tribulation. Yes. Well, no, in verse 10, okay, this is the song sung by believers in heaven during the tribulation. We're going to be, I know, a lot of people, especially in the Bible church doctrinal movement, think that singing is a waste of time. I've actually had people tell me in this church, why do we sing? Let's just get right into the people. They're going to spend a lot of their time in eternity singing to God, worshiping to God. Now, I'm going to look for a couple of hands up. Not charismatic hands, but during the song service. Question hands. Excuse me. Mr. God, could we just skip all this singing and adoration to you and let's just get down to the teaching of doctrine? Doctrine is what I want. I'm tired of this worshiping and singing things about you. I don't think we'll hear that. I could be wrong, okay? I could be wrong. So these are the saints. This is us, seen in heaven. Now salvation, deliverance, the power, the kingdom of our God. What? You see what's happening? At the end of the tribulation, Christ is ready to return to the earth victorious. Satan is defeated. This is a song singing of the defeat of Satan. Three great warfares. Remember, three great battles. First battle in history, mano a mano. We weren't there. Earth becomes void, a garbage dump. How bad was the war? How bad was this wrestling match? Well, you know, you see them in the westerns, they have a little scuffle in the bar, and there's bottles and mirrors broken, or if it's in the house, you know, furniture's broken, the stairs always break. They fall off on a table and it breaks and they keep scuffling. Look, Jesus and Lucifer are scuffling on the earth. And when they get through scuffling, the earth is a shambles. That was a wrestling match. Now, second battle of the cross. And because of the cross, we're singing the song of victory. That's where the real battle was, the battle of thinking. Now we're singing because we're getting ready to watch Jesus do the mop-up victory. And the mop-up battle consists of the second advent of Christ, where he takes Lucifer and puts him in jail for 1,000 years, and then he's loose, and then it's over. And we're singing the victory song. Yeah. That's the second half of the tribulation. Yeah. First half of the tribulation, Lucifer is pro-Semitic. Okay? The last half is anti-Semitic. In other words, the first half, he comes to deceive. How does he deceive? I'm the hero. I'm going to take care of you and provide for Israel. I'll be your protector. That's the same, yeah. Last half of tribulation, when they flee to the wilderness, God takes care of them. And so what happens? He's got them all surrounded. It looks like this is it. And his army is pouring out like water across the earth. And what happens? God, the land, just opens up, swallows the army. Boom, it's over. Okay. That's it. And so, verse 17 now, the dragon Satan is enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring, who? Who kept the commandments of God. Now, once again, boy, if you're doing good and you see Sinai, kept the law. Or if you worship at Mount Zion, what are the commandments? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And love one another. See? This is the commandment that God has given to us. Two commandments. To accept Him for eternal life, love one another. And so he goes and he tries to wipe out believers. Now, that you can see when we get to chapter 12, there's a lot there. We're going to have a lot of fun. But go back to just 1 and 2. We have the first sign of the zodiac, which is Virgo. And that takes us to the first war, the first battle between God and Satan. And we go right back to Genesis 3:15. Was prophesied. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the dragon. Now, flip over to Psalms 19. Look at Psalms 19. We'll just read verses 1 through 6. This is for the choir director, a psalm of David. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hand. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. The telling about God. Every night you could look in the stars, and because you've been told and explained the zodiac, you can see the constellations, and you have the history of the universe as far as God is concerned. There is no speech or language there. Their voice is not heard. Can you hear them? Their line has gone out to all the earth, and their utterance is to the end of the world. There's no language you can't hear, but everybody knows. In them He has placed a tent for the sun, that's Christ, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. In other words, everyone is touched by the gospel. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Yes. Yes. Okay, there was speech. The people spoke. But the zodiac did not speak. Did not speak to them. But they had learned the story of the zodiac. And let me show you where. From God. And I'll show you. Look here. Look at Genesis 1:14. And God said, let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from night, and let them serve as signs and to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights. The greater light to govern the day. Who is the greater light? The sun. Who represents the sun? Or what does the sun represent? Christ. And the lesser light to govern the night. Who's the lesser light? The moon. Satan. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the skies to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Now, let's go back to verse 14. Let there be light, that's stars, in the expanse of the sky. Now, there are four things they do. Which one of these doesn't go with the other three? Don't you love those tests where they have lists of things, and which one doesn't go with this list? Here's the list. Signs, seasons, days, and years. Signs. You see that? Days, seasons, years. Are they, do they all match? Do they have something in common? Signs. Different. Sign is different than a season, or day, or year. Now, this is deep. A sign proclaims a message. I think we still have those, don't we? Eat at Joe's. Great food. Cheap. Goofy. See? Now, as I said, the zodiac goes all the way back to the Sumer Empire before the flood. The same zodiac is found in Sumer history and literature, Babylonian history and literature, Roman history and literature, Greek history and literature, Egyptian history and literature, and as I said, if you look at the zodiac, next week I'll have to have one, none of it, not one sign looks like its name. Not one. And that is proof in itself that it comes from God. Why? Because as I said, no two people could look at the 12 signs of the zodiac and ever come up with even one common name, much less 12. Because how do we do it today? How do people look and say, look, there's the bear. Look, there's this and there's the fish. And look at all these things that are happening because it's a story. And we look at a constellation, and the constellation, you know, three little stars, that's that. Four stars, seven stars, that's that. Constellation. That's the zodiac, and now the story is around this zodiac, around this picture. That's the oral history. Yes, they do. You look at the horoscope in the paper. Yeah, but I mean, the zodiac tells the story. I mean, we still look at the zodiac and we say, this is what it is. Virgo is still a virgin. Do you see what I mean? It's still there. We look, you don't see it. How do we know it's a vision? We just know it is. Okay, look at Job, chapter 38. I'm coming now. Look at Job 38. We won't go to Job 9. Look at verse 31. God's talking to Job. Can you bind the beautiful Pleiades, the seven stars? Picture of Lucifer. Chapter 38, verse 31. Can you loose the cords of Orion? Orion, that's a picture of Christ. He was bound by what? Death. Wasn't he? Look at verse 32. Can you bring forth? Now the word in the Hebrew is a hiphil and perfect, and it means to lead or to guide with a purpose. Can you lead, and the NIV says constellation. And the Hebrew, I think, says mezeroth, which is the King James does, and it's the Hebrew word mezeroth, and it means the 12 signs of the zodiac. Job says, not only the 12 signs of the zodiac, but the 36 constellations that go with them. Or, lead out the bear, Ursa Minor, with its cub. And Ursa Minor is also the sheepfold. Okay? Now, what interests me, and I'm going to hit this, and then we'll go. Look back at Genesis. I want to say about Genesis chapter 5. Yes. I'm not going to read it, but I want you to know where it is. Now, no one claims to name the zodiac. They just knew them. And when you read the history of these civilizations, they talk about the zodiac. It's just that somebody else had named them and told the stories, and they repeat it. They're not sure who. The Arab tradition says that the zodiac comes from Seth and Enoch. Okay? Arab mythology. Seth, believer. Enoch, believer. Seth was the son of Adam. Now I believe that when God explained to Adam and gave him the promise of Genesis 3:15, I think he showed him the stars and explained the history of the conflict between himself and Lucifer. And in that would be the cross. In that, one of the constellations speaks of the Holy Spirit being poured out on the earth after the resurrection of Christ. That's amazing! It's all there! Now, when Adam was 130, he fathered Seth. Okay? Cain and Abel. Cain has murdered Abel, and then Cain has been banished. Seth is 105 when he becomes the father of Enoch. That means Adam was 235 when Enoch was born. Enoch is the father of Kenan. He was 90 when Kenan was born. That would make Adam 325 years old. Kenan was 70 when Mahali was born. Adam's 395 years old. When Mahali was 65, he had Jared. When Jared was born, Adam is 460 years old. He is in middle age. When Jared was 162, he waited a long time to start a family. When you're 162, when you don't have your first kid to 162, we can call that waiting. And when Jared was 162 years old, Enoch is born. He's the father of Enoch. And Adam is 622 years old. And Enoch was the father of Methuselah. Methuselah was born when Enoch was 65. Adam is 817 years old. When Noah is born, Adam has been dead 106 years. You put it in perspective? So how is it for the first 1,500 years of history we have the zodiac and it is an accurate picture of Christ and his victory over Satan from the cross right on down, because it went to Adam, and Adam gave it to his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, right on for almost 1,000 years. 800 years. Over 800 years. Most people are not around for 900 years of their kid's life. And grandkids and great-grandkids and great-grandkids to explain things to them. Adam was. So, someone would say, Virgo, that doesn't look like a virgin. How do you know that's a virgin? Because my great-grandfather Adam was in the Garden of Eden with Jesus Christ, and God told him that was the virgin. And from the virgin was going to come the Messiah who was bruised. What? The head of the serpent, as the serpent did his heel. You see that? All the way through. It's the oral history of God's plan before written scripture. And it did not start to become distorted until before the flood. After Adam has gone home to be with the Lord. Yeah. Lunar year is probably 360 days instead of 365. Whoopee. Could have been, but maybe not. Could have been 366 days. Remember, things have changed a lot since the flood. No, I don't mean about that. Okay? But when we say year, we can understand a year, okay? You know, when we talk about a year, is it exactly a year? Atomic clockwise? No. Do we care? No. I don't know. He just lived 365 years and he walked with the Lord. Took the resurrection. Boom. See? No death. Only two people have gotten out of the world alive. He's one of them. Yeah. I think so. Okay? So, I may be, next week, we'll look at Romans 1 and Romans 10. And then we'll go to Virgo. We'll look at the Sphinx, how to How do we know that that Virgo is the first sign of the zodiac? Because we have paintings that go back over 4,000 years with the Sphinx. Remember the head of the woman, the body of a lion? And she's right in the middle of the zodiac, and she is right there between, and she's looking at Virgo, and her tail is pointing to Leo. And so what she's saying is, we start with Virgo, and we end with Leo. And the interesting thing is, that's on an Egyptian temple on the ceiling, 4,000 years old, and we have similar paintings of the Sphinx in the same position in the zodiac through all kinds, you know, Sumer, whatever. Now, you see, last week when I talked about the zodiac, some of you were probably saying, oh boy, John's gone off the deep end. And Dr. Bollinger was the first guy to put me onto this. He wrote about this in the 1890s. I didn't know him personally. But Ray did. Yeah. Ray met him, but he was too old at the time to remember it. Okay? Yeah. I may be the only person that has gotten turned on to this. And here. And, but when we start looking at the zodiac, and you look at it, and then you look at Revelation, and it's just all this. It's just all this. Okay? What? Oh. No, I'm... Do I have a habit of rushing? You know, could I have that in writing? Because Larry's the only person who says that I go too fast. You repeat too much. You said that three times already. When I was in Vegas one time, I said something, a particular point, and every time I said it, I had a little pen and a piece of paper, and I marked it, and I kept track. And I was on the 17th time when someone came to me and said, why do you keep saying this? You said it three times already. And I said, because I said it 17 times and you missed the first 14. So, and as I said, I've just had fun with this, and I think it's interesting. I think it shows us something, and it shows us how God is in control. And it shows how Lucifer is a deceiver. And here he has taken what God designed to give the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he turned it into the gospel of man, humanism. Okay? Father, thanks for the time we've had to come together and worship you today. I pray that your spirit would just take these things and just make them real to each one of us today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.